message. The second message he had in his hand, he was going to charge $50, and that was a 45-minute message. And then the last message he was going to charge was going to be a $100 message, it was only $25. Or $100 was only 25 minutes. Let's just say the offering was filled that night. Somebody already said to me, make it short and sweet and to the point. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am nervous. Do you not understand? Do you not see that? Pastor asked me last night to preach this morning. The Lord was already working in my heart already for a message to preach, but in just the wee hours of the night, we got this message together. The Lord is so good to us. I want to preach on a topic that's not talked about a lot. I want to preach on a topic that, right in this passage of scripture, many people just run over as they're reading it. In this passage of scripture, there's something important that Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus that is only stated in the Word of God three times. When God says something, I think it's important. When God repeats what he says, I think it's very important. And when God repeats it the third time, I think it's the utmost important. He says in this passage of scripture, verily, verily. He's not just saying, listen, I don't want you just to listen. Again, I want you to really, really pay attention. In this passage of scripture, it talks about somebody coming to Jesus by night. In this passage of scripture, it gives us the gospel. It gives us some very important things. Around this world today, there's going to be many people preaching against this passage of scripture. And don't get me wrong, there's going to be many people preaching what I will be preaching today, but there's going to be many people preaching against what I'm getting ready to preach about this morning. There's a false philosophy that God is nothing but love. That is true. God loves us. But I find in the scriptures that he's not just a loving God, but he's a just God. And he has to pour out judgment upon sin in this earth. That is a just God. There is a judgment coming into this world. There's a judgment that many of you and I will escape, but there's going to be many of people here on this earth that are still going to be facing this judgment when God in Revelation chapter 13 through on is going to turn out vials of his wrath, not veils, vials of his wrath out upon a mankind that he loved so dear. Why is that? Because God is a just God. The Bible also says that God is no respecter of person, that we can't earn our way into heaven. There's many philosophies that are being preached today that it's grace, it's by grace, plus something else. Most of them add works to it. Let's see what John says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's a very important statement. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not in verse 7, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. If you have the marking things in your Bible, can you mark these last words in the verse 7? Ye must be born again. I'd like to preach to you for the next few moments on this topic that's so highly missed amongst our fundamental churches, amongst our contemporary churches, is the fact that you must be born again. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that you'll take the Word of God this morning, Lord, the best that I know how, Father, that you'll apply it to the hearts. And God, I pray that you'll remove me, hide me behind the cross, that Christ will be shown today. Father, I pray that you'll help those that are sick, Father, even with dealing with some drainage in the back of my throat right now, Father, I pray that you'll help me. Lord, I pray this hour that if there's one in here that don't know you as a personal Savior, I pray today that they'll get born again. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Do you see who came to Jesus by night? He was an important folk. He was a person of prestige and honor, and more than likely, he was rich. He was a, as we would say, an elder or a ruler of the Jews. In the Bible, there's two different types of rulers, and if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's two different types of people of the elect's sake. They were the Pharisees, and then there was those that were Pharisees above Pharisees. They were called the Sanhedrin. They were the ones ruling the people. The Pharisees just taught the law, but the Sanhedrin ruled the people. Nicodemus was more than just a Pharisee. He was a ruler of people. Do you know those hard cases people get saved? You say that there is no way that this person could ever come to Christ because of how they look or what they taught. This was that man. They came to Jesus by night. In the chapters before that, we see how Jesus taught and performed miracles. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were around him. Jesus even said in John chapter 2 at the end of that he knew what was in man. He knew he was no respecter of person. He didn't need man to say that it's what he can do or be qualified by man because he knew what was in man, and in man there is nothing good. Even as a born-again believer, in myself there is nothing inherently good about me. I am no good. It is Christ's righteousness that appeased God's wrath upon sinful man. It is God's righteousness, or it's Christ's righteousness. The Bible says that was imputed, that was declared or put upon our account. It was his blood, his righteousness, that makes me acceptable in the sight of God. It's nothing what this Pharisee has thought, though he hungered for something that he has never hungered for until he heard Jesus. He never thought that the Old Testament and Isaiah would ever be fulfilled in his timing. He even says that in verse 2. He says, he calls him Rabbi. And he is quoting in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 20. That word Rabbi can be translated into the mighty one, the fit one. He was saying that in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 20, and it shall be a sign for the witnesses unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, that they shall cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, a great one. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law inside and out. But when he heard Jesus teaching, there was something different. He was a ruler. He knew the law. He knew the Old Testament. He taught the Mosaic law. He taught it in the temple, and he taught it around to people, that people must sacrifice and give up this and give up that to be saved people. But there was something here Jesus had that he wanted. Nicodemus even said it. He said, There's no man that can do these miracles. In verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night, saying to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For man, no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. What Nicodemus was missing all his life, Jesus had just in this verse. What he was missing was a personal relationship with God. He didn't have that. He longed and hungered for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Even he prayed in Isaiah that the scriptures would be fulfilled. The prophecy was being fulfilled before his eyes. And he was hungering and thirsting for righteousness, not of his own, but of somebody that can impute it to him. He was hungering and thirsting for a personal relationship that Christ had with God. He wanted that. This world doesn't need another image of itself. This world has done nothing good for itself. This world needs people that have a relationship with God. Jesus claimed to him twice in the scripture what he must do. You must be born again. Now we understand what that means. In the natural mind, for us as spirit-filled people, as we have confessed our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we understand what that means. But Nicodemus did not understand. He thought he must go back into the womb as a natural birth and be born again to have this relationship with God. Jesus didn't say that. Nor Jesus was entering or pointing to that. Jesus said he must be born again. This is not a physical birth. This is a spiritual birth. In us, in the moment of our physical birth, we came into this world as a natural man, separated from God, with God's wrath abiding upon us. There was no way our works, in Isaiah chapter 26, it says how our works is even as filthy rags in the eyes of God. There's nothing we can do to appease the wrath and the condemnation that is set upon mankind by our works. There's people preaching today and people speaking today that our salvation is by works. We cannot work our way into heaven. If that was the case, wouldn't God send some other means for us to go to heaven other than sending his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross, which was a cruel death? Isaiah said you couldn't even tell that he was a man. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was ripped asunder. His skin was literally ripped apart off of his body. You could see the bones of this man. And the Bible says in Isaiah that you couldn't even tell that he was a man because he was beaten so badly. He took a cruel death for our sin. He came to this world to bleed and die for you and I. Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's not about what you know, and it's not about what you do, but it's about being born again. That is the key. B.L. Moody says we still have not seen a man in this world that was fully filled with the Spirit of God. We don't know what would happen if we fully surrendered our lives to Christ and God used us. We have an old nature walking behind us, literally is pulling against us. The Bible says there's a war going on in Romans chapter 8 that Paul even said in verse chapter 7 that there was two things warring against each other. That was the Spirit of God and the man's flesh warring and fighting and struggling. He said, those things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He's talking about that battle that happens in our natural flesh body, in our spirit, with the spirit in our flesh, and the contradictory, what they pull against each other, trying to take all our time. It's like a feeding which dog. I know we're not comparing our flesh to a dog, but whichever dog you feed the most is going to be the strongest. Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's not about what you do. It's not about your works, but it's about being born again. That is being obedient to the gospel. Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's two things in the scripture that it shows us, specifically out of this passage of scripture, when we are born again, something happens. Number one, in verse 3, we get to see the kingdom of God. Do you know the natural man cannot see the things of God working in this world? We are blinded by the fact that God is working. A natural man cannot see God working in this world because he's blinded, the Bible says, by the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who have not believed. There is a blinder upon, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were blind leaders in Matthew chapter 7, leading the blind, and they're headed to a ditch. Our physical self and our physical body, in our unregenerate heart, or unsaved, we are not confess our sins, regenerate, the Bible says, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know why most people call themselves Christians but can't see God work? Because they're claiming a name rather than claiming a person. You know why most of the world cannot see God working? Because they've never been born again. Do you know why many of professing Christians can't see God working? Because they've never confessed their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're believing in a prayer and not believing in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a difference. If you go to Acts chapter 8, in the book of Acts chapter 8, there's a one guy called Simeon, or Simon, however you want to say it. In Acts chapter 8, it says that not only did he believe, but he was baptized, verse 4 through 24. Not only does it say he believed and was baptized, but he tried to buy the Holy Spirit of God. But there was an important statement there that he didn't understand. And it wasn't about purchasing something, and it wasn't about being baptized, and it wasn't about just believing in God, but it was about putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the key to being born again, is confessing our sins and putting our faith and trust, so we can see as born again believers the kingdom of God. We can see God working in this world. I don't know about you, I see God working all the time. I might not know every little detail that is happening, and I may not be able to see everything in the future, but I can know this, that God is working, because I get to see the kingdom of God. And one day, I'm so happy I get to lay my eyes and rest my eyes here on this earth. The last look here on this earth is going to be the first look in heaven. And I get to walk the streets of gold. I get to see the one that has died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Why? Because I've been born again. There's a second statement John says here in verse 5. You must be born again. It's talking about the water and of the spirit. And it says you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to be born again means that, number one, we get to see the kingdom of God. And number two, we get to enter the kingdom of God. We were once in the wrath of God, vile, sinful people that could not work their way into heaven, nor walk the streets of gold, nor see Jesus Christ and sitting on his throne, except we are born again. There's a difference in between knowing and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is a difference. When I was 12 years old, I said a prayer. I said a prayer because I was asked to say a prayer. Nothing changed. I was worse after I said that prayer than I was first. But when I was trusting later on in life, when somebody would ask me, are you a Christian? Yeah, I said that prayer. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I said that prayer. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I said that prayer. Never believing that Jesus Christ was my Savior. Until at 18 years old, he convicted me of my sin. And I confessed my sin and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is a difference. And it's not about just believing. The Pharisees believed. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. But you ain't gonna see the devil yet. Before Christ comes back, if he comes back for his bride, yes, we'll see the devil in heaven because in Revelations, he is considered the accuser of the brethren. And he's been sitting in heaven right now, but there's gonna be a day coming when he's gonna be cast out of heaven. Forever. The Bible says he's gonna be cast into the pit. He's gonna get the torment. He's gonna get the torment. He's gonna feel the gnashing of the teeth. He's gonna feel the fire, just like every lost person that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. It's more than just about believing, and it's more than just about knowing. It's personally knowing him. That's what Nicodemus was after. Nicodemus wanted something more than what he's been taught all his life. He's been taught the law. He's been taught the Old Testament. He's been taught that you must sacrifice, and you must give up, and you must do this, and you must do that, and you must do that, just to be accepted in the eyes of God. But he realized in those words, and in the law, he was no good. The law wasn't brought to save people. The law was brought to condemn people and to show their need for salvation. That's why the law was brought. Christ didn't come to do away with the law. Christ came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled what was done that no other man could do because he was the Son of God. The Bible says here that in verse 5 that you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Don't stumble over that. This is where most people take this passage of Scripture and run with it. They say it's works plus baptism or works or salvation by grace plus something else. Jesus is not saying and he's not contradicting in his word. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So why would God say here, Jesus Christ himself contradict his own words? He can't. So what does it mean to be born of water? If you study the New Testament, you'll find many times where it talks about the water as the word of God. I wrote down a whole bunch of passages of Scripture just to show you that that was the case. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, it's not about what we do, it's not about what we have, but it's about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is a fountain, or there's a song that we sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The Bible says in John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The Bible says in John 15:2, not that you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In Ephesians 5:25-26, says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, the Bible says, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. It is the word of God that does the washing and cleansing in our lives. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It is not talking about baptism. It's talking about the word of God. The word of God does its cleansing in our lives. The word of God cleanses us. It washes away our sins. It helps us to see and convict us and bring us into a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then it says you must be born of the Spirit. That Spirit is talking about the Holy Spirit conviction. That the Spirit of God convicts us of our sin. And from that, we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So as born again believers, we get two things. We get something amazing that Nicodemus hungered for, that he wanted. He wanted a personal relationship with God. And Jesus said two times just in this passage of Scripture, even in 1 Peter 1 with the other reference, I'll read that to you real quick. 1 Peter 1, it says, in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Nicodemus was hungering and thirsting to be born again. The only way that we can see the kingdom of God, and the only way that we can enter the kingdom of God, is that you must be born again. What does that mean to be born again? It means realizing the need for a Savior. He realized that he was the divine one. Nicodemus realized that Jesus was divine. He said, only God be with him. He knew that he was the sent one, that the prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached the gospel. In John 3, preached that he must be lifted up. In chapter 6:15, it says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, it's only by being born again you can enter into the kingdom of God. It's by confessing your sins and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the only way to heaven. That is the only way we can see God working. The problem is, a lot of us cannot see God working. And a lot of us cannot enter into God's kingdom because we've never been born again. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, that is quick and powerful, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll work on the heart. Lord, show the need that people must be born again. Not only so we can see the kingdom of God, but that we can enter in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that you'll work now through this invitation. Lord, if there's one in our midst that's never been born again, I pray today that you'll convict them of their sin. Lord, that they'll come forward and put their faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. With